All right, everybody, this is the Ramblings of a Transgender Christian. I am your host, Anna Hudak. So today we've... Sorry, my throat always gets really bad when I am starting recording. I don't know why. It's like my throat just like waiting for me to hit the record button. Whatever. One of these days, I am going to make my throat stop doing this. Like, I even took a cough drop, like, almost half an hour ago to try to head this off. Nope. Oh, well. Whatever. Anyway, moving right along. We do have a decent amount to talk about today. Our reading in the Gender Accelerationist Manifesto is pretty short this week. So I don't know how long this episode is going to end up, because I only really have one topic outside of the Gender Accelerationist Manifesto, so this may end up being a quickie, I don't know. But anyway, let's just dive straight into our discussion this week. Okay, so. And, okay, there we go. So, something I have been seeing a lot of lately. Sorry. Stupid throat. Anyway, is a lot of progressive Christians denying basic core tenets of our faith. Now, that's something I've noticed for a while now, really for years, but it's really been coming to a head pretty recently, about maybe the last year or so. And now, if we're just straight up blatantly denying the core tenets of her faith and claiming to be Christian, and in fact, not only that, going after people, calling out and condemning people who do believe in the core tenets of Christianity. So we have here the first one, because these all happened yesterday. These are two tweets by two progressive Christians that are not small at all. You know, that, you know, Alex Blondo, he has a PhD in theology from Luther Seminary. Doesn't have the biggest Twitter following, but this is a theology PhD. This is not an idiot. Supposedly, personally, in my personal opinion, anyone who has a theology PhD or calls themselves a Bible scholar is a fucking idiot, because almost without fail, every single one of these motherfuckers end up having the worst fucking theology you've ever heard in your life. So, I mean, they probably are fucking idiots, but, you know, so in theory, if you have a PhD, you're not, you know, they don't just hand out PhDs like candy, okay? Like, you had to work for this shit. And, but once again, in my experience, anyone with a PhD in theology or calls themselves a Bible scholar always have the worst fucking theology you've ever heard in your life. Like, I want to make it clear, I don't have a respect for anyone with those credentials. Yeah, Bible scholar or PhD in theology. Anyway, and I think you will see part of what I mean. So, Alex Blondo, PhD in theology, tweeted this out. The reason that much evangelical Christianity is so insistent upon a literal bodily resurrection of Jesus is because the entire structure of her spirituality is based around denying death. What? What the fuck are you talking about? Are we looking at the same evangelicals? The goal is to live forever, and that is achieved by fitting themselves into religious technology which cashes out that result. This is just word salad. It means nothing. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. To suggest a spiritual point of view in which Jesus is revelatory but not crudely literal magic man from the sky is to cast out upon the spiritual machinery by which we are living. No, it's to cast doubt on the entire point of our faith. Which I will get to. Some of them then say revealing things like, I would be at a strip club if the resurrection is not a literal fact. Okay? Oh no. The strip club. The worst thing I can imagine. Such a statement evidences spirituality that is not based on the transcendent love, but brings reunion within the self and amongst the world. It shows whatever a technology in which suppression plays the lead role. So, basically, for suppressing themselves, they use religion to suppress themselves. My brother in Christ, it's not a bad thing. Imagine reading the Bible and being like, you know, suppressing myself, you know, suppressing myself from my sinful desires. That's a very bad thing. Religion isn't supposed to do that. My brother in Christ, the whole point of Christianity is, I don't know, repenting of your sin, which means turning away, which means not carrying out your sinful desires. But also recognizing that we are wholly incapable, especially on our own, from doing so, and we need mercy and grace, you know, to forgive us when we do fuck up. Like, yes, suppression is an important part of religion. It is a very important part of Christianity. I don't know how you can claim... how do you read the Bible and come out with the notion that, yeah, I'm not supposed to suppress my worldly desires in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't mean you fucking suppress every little fucking thing you want to do, but yeah, you're supposed to suppress sinful desires or not even, and I want to make it clear. I'm not saying that necessarily everything is a sin. A sin is anything that you know you should not do or you feel guilty. Like, if you're saying that, that you know you would feel guilty about doing, even if it isn't necessarily a sin, then you should not do it. Because for you, that would be a sin. Sin is also not doing something that you know you should do. Like, guess what? Like, yeah, you, suppression is very much an important part of Christianity. I hate to break it to you. I don't even know, like, I genuinely don't know how you call yourself a Christian. I feel like, you know, suppressing your worldly desires, suppressing, you know, sinful desires, that's bad, actually. What? What? Wow. It is in this way that I see the figure of Jesus as being truly revelatory without the need to defend any particular historical theory about him. His life shows forth a love unencumbered by the suppressive fear that characterizes much of the religion that came after him. Imagine if that was the takeaway from Easter. What the fuck? Okay. Wow. That was a nice take. And when I say nice take, I mean mind-numbingly stupid, to be frank. So... Let me bring up something here. Bring up the good old Blue Letter Bible since I forgot to bring it up earlier. Okay, so. Where are we? Okay, so here was my response. If you're watching, you can see I responded to him on Twitter. If you don't believe that Jesus died and actually rose from the dead, you are not a Christian. Plain and simple. There is literally no point to Christianity if Jesus did not rise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:12-28. And for those who don't know, here is what 1 Corinthians 15:12-28 reads. Or 20, was it? Oh, 28, yeah. into CSB. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified wrongly about God that he raised up Jesus, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be more pitied than anyone. But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he puts his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. For God has put everything under his feet. Now when it says everything is put under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. When everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. What, Alex? What? Your PhD in theology. How are you pushing things that violate the most core tenet part of our faith? The Bible fucking repudiates you. Motherfucking Paul bitch slaps views like yours. In the fucking Bible. In one of the most read books of the Bible. It's not like this is some unknown passage that's buried deep. Which, by the way, if you're a PhD in theology, you should know it anyway. You know, even if it was like some buried scripture in the books of the Bible that no one ever fucking reads, like Micah. Okay? Like, this is the fucking First Corinthians. Every Christian who ever lived has read this book of the Bible. It's like for John, Acts, and 1 Corinthians, and Romans, or like the four, like the holy quadrilogy of New Testament books that every fucking Christian has ever read. How do you sit there and like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to take a stance that is completely contradictory to the whole fucking scripture. Not only that Paul completely debunks. Motherfucker. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain. We are to be pitied more than anyone else. And not only that, God implies that God is not our all in all. He has not put everything under his feet. Everything is not subject to Christ. It is not subject to God. What the fuck, man? What? Alright, so anyway, I think we've beat that dead horse, but I mean, what is it? Like, and I want to make it clear. I'm not picking on Alex because he's the first one I've seen or like because he's some fucking PhD. No, it's because I see this a lot. I see so many who claim to be progressive Christians taking views like this. This is the second time in about a month and a half that I have seen this. From a progressive Christian from someone who should know better, from somebody with a platform who should know better. Like, what the fuck is going on, people? What the fuck? Now, another great response that I did want to read is from this guy that I follow. Great Twitter follow. You should follow. Oops, did not mean to hit my microphone there. You should follow if you're on Twitter, MB or at UnrighteousD. I'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes, which, as you know by now, it means I'm probably not going to. But if you're watching on video, you can see what it is. But I will try to remember legitimately to put a link to his Twitter account. Great Twitter follow. But he tweeted out in response to this guy, "We don't deny death. We just don't grant it victory." A fucking man. Anyone who actually thinks that traditional theology, which, by the way, like, I love that he says it's evangelical Christianity. No, motherfucker. It's all of Christianity for the last 2,000 fucking years. What was, you know, Thomas of Aquinas or whatever the fuck his name was? Was he trying to deny death? Was Martin Luther trying to deny death? Was every fucking Catholic priest, Catholic saint, or, you know, Orthodox priest, you know, Southern Baptist preacher, you know, Presbyterian pastor ever trying to deny death? No, motherfucker. We're just not granting it victory. You were granting it victory by saying that Jesus did not rise from the dead. Understand, when you say Jesus did not rise from the dead, you are granting victory to death. You know, and MB even responds to himself saying, "Yeah, that would be shitty. Good news, everybody. Jesus is dead." Yet, you know, that's what Easter's all about. Celebrating the fact that Jesus is dead. Clearly. You know, all those wacky evangelicals believing that Easter was, you know, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, you know, that death had been defeated. Wacky evangelicals. All this time we should have been celebrating death. Whoopee! God damn it, you motherfuckers. Oh, gosh. Anyway. So, moving on. And so this bitch, Jill Lumen, ever since I had the displeasure of finding out who the fuck she was a few months ago, I muted her fucking name. I blocked this bitch. She's a fucking idiot. She's one of those progressive deconstructionists who doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about. She's basically someone who deconstructed herself way out of faith, but fools herself into believing, into thinking that she's actually somehow still a Christian, despite having the worst fucking takes I've ever fucking seen in my fucking life on anything to do with theology. But unfortunately, because she is so fucking stupid, people still screenshot her and post her takes on Twitter, which is unfortunate. Because I would like to pretend she doesn't exist, but she tweeted this out yesterday. Or at least everyone that I follow was tweeting it out yesterday. Just about an hour after I saw that dumb fuck, PhD guy. So I'm going to pick on Jill Lumen a bit, because frankly, I don't think that she gets picked on enough. And she writes this: "I am a Christian and I hate Easter. I hate the narratives about salvation from sin. I hate substitutionary atonement theories. I hate pretending a dude died for a week and then that means I won't have to be tortured by his daddy. I hate Easter and I love Christianity." I mean, MB said it quite nicely and succinctly, but I am going to go in way more depth. And of course, he just says, "If you love Christianity and hate the gospel, you actually hate Christianity." That's a nice short way to do it. I am going to pick this apart even more. So, Jill Lumen is a pretty big deconstructionist figure, especially on Twitter. She's got way too many followers. It's like, I think she's got like 20-something thousand followers, like 26 fucking thousand followers. And the unfortunate reality is, pretty much anyone who's in progressive Christian circles basically worships this bitch. Like, I follow so many people who are constantly praising her and her fucking theology. You know, I am subscribed to a bunch of, you know, newsletters I never fucking read. You know, and just usually going in spam where I just fucking delete. And these motherfuckers are always posting about her. Joe Lumen is a false teacher. Straight up. This is not the only fucking completely abiblical thing that she's tweeted. No, please, I have seen plenty of other shit where it's just like, have you ever read the Bible? Are you sure you are a Christian? Okay. But because she tweeted this last night, a little bit after I saw that other tweet, I am going to pick on her. So, I hate the narratives about salvation from sin. Well, I guess you hate the whole fucking New Testament then, because, that's what, like, pretty much the entire fucking New Testament is about. In fact, that's literally what the whole point of our faith is about. That God became human, he became flesh, you know, Jesus died physically, resurrected again in a spiritual body for us. You know, he physically rose from the dead with a spiritual body after physically and spiritually dying for us to save us from our sins. Like, what the fuck do you think that Jesus did dying on the cross if it wasn't to save us from our sins? Like, he's like, you know what'd be a fucking good time? If I just, you know, died. If I got executed. If I had nails driven through my fucking hands or through my wrists or whatever the fuck. If I got whipped. You know, if I got humiliated in front of, you know, thousands of people. That sounds like a good time. Motherfucker, what the fuck? Salvation from sin is the whole point. Anyway, she continues. I hate substitutionary atonement theories. To be frank, I have no idea what the fuck that is. It's a term I hear thrown around a lot, but I have no idea what the fuck it is, and frankly, I'm too lazy to look it up. You know, so I have no comment on it, but the fact is, but at this point, I have come to accept that if Joe Lumen dislikes something, it's probably correct. So I am just going to take it until it's proven that substitutionary atonement is bad theology, I am going to assume it's correct without knowing anything about it. I hate pretending a dude died for a weekend and that means I won't have to be tortured by his daddy. Once again, read 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 28. And the other thing is, be tortured by his daddy. No, motherfucker. What the fuck? How do you read the scripture and think that God is torturing people by sending them to hell? Motherfucker. You sent yourself to hell. It's your own sins that damn you in hell. God doesn't torture anyone. Like, where the fuck in this scripture does it say God tortures people in hell? No, motherfucker. You're torturing yourself. Understand, hell is eternal separation from the Father. It is eternal separation from love. It is eternal separation from anything good. Hell is the absence of God. It's not God torturing you. Like, where the fuck does anyone come up with this notion that hell is being tortured by God? Like, hell is the absence of God. That's what makes hell, well, so hellish. Is that there is no good. There is no love. There is no God. Because all good, all love comes from the Father. I mean, I don't remember what fucking verse it is, but the Bible straight up says, we are not capable of good. No one is. Good only comes from the Father. Only God is capable of good, and He is gracious enough, He is merciful enough to us to give us the ability to do it. But we cannot do good, we cannot love apart from Him. He's the one who gives us the ability to do so. So if you're if you are separated from God eternally, which is hell, you are wholly incapable of love. You are wholly incapable of doing anything good. That's not God torturing you. Those are the natural consequences of your life of sin that you did to yourself. It's your own sins that do you in. It's your own sins that will torture you yourself. You are torturing yourself, if anything. Anyway, oop, I accidentally started Google Assistant. Oh, come on. Sorry, I accidentally started Google Assistant on my phone. I was checking to make sure they had no notifications. Anyway, so yeah, sorry, Joe Lumen. I don't think you're a Christian. Look, I don't like saying, like, I hate saying you aren't a Christian. Like, I don't like coming up with, like, be like saying, oh, this person is definitely not a Christian. This person can't be a Christian, but if you deny core tenets, like the most core tenet of our faith, you're not a Christian. Joe Lumen is not a Christian. And I just have a request, because I know that some of you trolls on Twitter who promote her, listen to this show. Please stop promoting her. I know you are promoting her. I see your tweets. I see you retweeting her. I see you pushing her in your newsletters. Joe Lumen is a false teacher who denies the most core tenet of our faith. Stop it. Just fucking stop it. Anyway, so I just needed to go off a little bit. But I did go off on her a bit on Twitter as well. I don't know if I'm going to read all my tweets on it, but basically it's like, you can't just say that you don't like core tenets of your faith, still be part of that faith, you know? You know, I think, you know, Christianity isn't a buffet. You can't pick what you like and throw out what you don't. There actually are some things you have to believe to accept to be a Christian. But for some odd fucking reason, a lot of progressive Christians have decided that it's cool to deny the most central tenet of our faith. Sin and deliverance from it. Like, yeah, just fucking crazy. Like, we're so desperate to not be evangelicals that we're now straight up denying core tenets of the faith. Congratulations, Joe Lumen and Alex. The average evangelical is a lot closer to the fucking Bible. Their theology is a lot more biblical than yours. Anywho, how long have you been recording? Hey, okay, yeah, it's probably time to move on. But anyway, I just needed to get that off my chest because I just see this so much. I see this so much from progressive Christians, people with platforms, people who should know better, just straight up denying the core tenets of our faith. This needs to be called out. We cannot be tolerating this shit. Like, no, people need to stand up and say, you are not a Christian. This is false teaching. This is heresy. This is blasphemy. Shut up. Read the fucking Bible that you claim to preach. This is what the Bible says. If you cannot affirm the core tenets of what the Bible says, if you cannot affirm what the Bible has clearly written out, you are a false teacher, and we must cast you out. We want nothing to do with you. Anyway, so moving on, let's get into the gender accelerationist manifesto. So it is a short section. If you're following along on the PDF, it's page 8. We are reading Saying Yes to Gender. Class, class, class. We are dominated and controlled, sorted and divided. But where do we factor into all this? People see class like this as merely imposed, but that fails to account for the ways that we actually interact with it. It isn't simply imposed upon us. We are active participants within it. We perform it. Here we can listen to the analysis of Judith Butler. Performative acts, that is all the little actions you can take which construct an identity, are key to understanding how gender functions on an individual level. We find these in the most basic things we do and say. I am a woman. No, I can't play with that. It's a boy toy. Boys will be boys. These acts produce an identity, both within ourselves and with others. You identify as a woman or a man and identify others as men or women by engaging in these acts. So I think that this is mostly self-explanatory. You know, gender is a class. And we actively participate in it by gendering things. You know, we say, you know, that I am a certain gender. You know, well, that's just how that gender acts, you know. You know, boys can't, you know, no, Timmy, you can't have that pink bicycle. That pink bicycles are for girls. You know, boys can't play with Barbies. Boys can't watch Care Bears. You know, girls can't act boyish. You know, you can't play football. Why the fuck would you as a girl want to play football or hockey? That's boyish. It's masculine. Here's a Barbie. Here's a Polly Pocket. Have fun. So, don't you dare. Why are you wearing those, you know, pants? Put on a dress. Put on a skirt. We actively participate in gender. We continue to make it an institution. Everything we do, pretty much, ensures gender lives on. Because we identify with certain things, you know, say, I like this thing because I am this gender, or, you know, I act this way because I am this gender. This person acts that way because they are that gender. All those are performative acts which continue the class of gender. This is hardly done for... Anyway, continuing on. This is hardly done freely. The violence of the system is inherent and systemic. We perform these acts surrounded by the violence of gender, but we still perform them. Gender isn't content with forcing itself upon us. Instead, it forces us to say yes to it. Because otherwise, violence will be imposed upon you. People who are gender nonconforming have violence performed against them. Whether it's physical or mental and emotional. You know? Conversion therapy. You know? All those tomboys, you know? Treated fucking horribly. You know, if you're you're a guy who likes something that can even be remotely seen as feminine, at best, at absolute best, you're getting called gay. And I mean at absolute best. Chances are, probably, you're probably facing violence. You know? How many times has somebody been... Have we heard stories of people getting beaten the shit out of them because they weren't acting masculine enough or, you know, feminine enough, you know? You know, how many women have been raped to correct verb behavior? You know, quote-unquote, correct verb behavior. You know, just... You will comply with the demands of gender. Because you will be enforced into it, you know, for somebody's going to commit violence against you in some way. You know, you're going to get bullied. Somebody's going to threaten you. Continuing on, this serves as a method of control and reproduction. Gender isn't inherent, but it spreads by assigning us to a class and forcing us to say yes to that class. Yes, I am a man. It is who I am and who I always have been. I cannot escape it or deny it. I am a man. This is nothing but a lie. We are forced to repeat, but by repeating it enough, we come to believe it. Gender becomes a natural, inescapable, eternal. It ceases to be an imposed identity and becomes an internal part of who we are. By objecting to my gender, you are objecting to that which is inherently me. So, in other words, gender is forced upon us. It is not something that is just inherent inside of any of us. It is something that is imposed upon us by society, by our parents, by our siblings, by our grandparents, by our friends. And when you don't know anything else, or, you know, you're just forced into it for so long, it just becomes who you are. And you can't see anything other than that, and you believe that, we do eventually believe that it is inherent, when it's not. It's something that was enforced upon you from the earliest days, from when you were fucking born, when you were first fucking born. You know, when the doctor declared, it's a boy, it's a girl. Continuing on, herein lies one of gender's greatest defense mechanisms, ourselves. We insist upon it and reject those who turn away from it. It becomes an unholy act for those who turn from the path. Indeed, it seems to us as if there's no other option. We say yes because that's all we can say. It is made inconceivable that it could be any other way. In other words, it's basically just a continuation of the last paragraph. It just, we just end up believing that it has to be that way. That this is the way it must be, that this is the way it is, and always shall be. And you just gotta live with it. That's what we, you know, that's what we fool ourselves into eventually believing. And then, so we participate in, you know, enforcing that gender system in others. We become enforcers of gender. So, anyway, that's everything from the Gender Accelerationist Manifesto for this week. Let us finish off with a good news story, as usual, from Good News Network. So, this is titled, Radical Solar Breakthrough Allows Energy to Now Be Stored for Up to 18 Years, Say Scientists. A pair of Swedish scientists designed a microchip that stores solar energy in liquid and shipped it to China, where 3 months later it was converted into electricity. The scientists are hoping to open a Pandora's box of solar-powered electronics and appliances, expanding solar's use away from exclusively baseload power generation. Scientists and entrepreneurs are still racing to see who can create the most efficient and effective way of storing the solar energy, as PV panels continue to proliferate across the world. These include hugely varied projects which GNN has covered, like ingots of molten aluminum and deep tunnels that facilitate the lifting and lowering of a huge weight. This latest newsworthy breakthrough comes from a Dutch-Chinese design team looking for small, simple ways storing solar energy for the market of smaller electronics. This is a radically new way of generating electricity from solar energy. Research leader Kasper Moth-Poulsen, professor at the Department of Chemistry and Chemical Engineering at Chalmers University, told Euronews, "It means that we can use solar energy to produce electricity regardless of weather, time of day, season, or geographical location." For design revolves around a specifically engineered molecule that changes shape when it comes in contact with sunlight, rearranging carbon, nitrogen, and hydrogen to form an isomer, an energy-rich molecule with a different configuration that holds its shape when immersed in liquid. To understand this, bears a basic review of thermodynamics. When matter changes form, energy is released, often through heat. When researchers and scientists refer to storing heat or storing energy in something that isn't a battery, what they mean is that energy of some form was used to create a form of matter that, when converted back to its original form, generates electricity through heat. A catalyst activates the stored isomers in the liquid to change back into their original forms, releasing heat and generating electricity, hence the technology's name, Molecular Solar Thermal Energy Storage Systems. That ain't a mouthful at all. Until the molecule reaches its half-life, it can be turned back in form to the isomer storage. Formed isomer stored form as often as solar energy needs to be saved, and it can be stored for an incredible 18 years. The generator is an ultra-thin chip that can be integrated into electronics such as headphones, smartwatches, and telephones. Said, I ain't gonna butcher this name, I am sorry, Sihang Wang from Chalmers University of Technology, whose Chinese team received the stored Swedish sunlight and tested it with our microchip. So far, we have only generated small amounts of electricity, but their new results show that the concept really works. It looks very promising. Thermoelectricity generation is widely distributed in the world industry, yet Wang et al. Okay, I don't know what that is supposed to be. Compressed that technology into an 800 nanometer thin film on a 3-inch silicon wafer to convert the heat released by Moth-Poulsen's isomers into electricity. Such a minuscule device could be fitted to receive these isomers from a charging station to power all sort kinds of small electronics. The researchers at both ends of the globe are proud and excited, but caution that much more research is needed before a system such as this can be implemented widely. Anyway, just fucking awesome to see, them creating new solar technology, them advancing it. That is always a wonderful thing to see. So, anywho, that is everything I've got for today, everyone. I want to thank you all for listening. If you enjoy everything I do, I'd love to hear from you. My contact information is in the show notes, my email, my social media. I do want to announce I am deleting my Facebook. I think I may have announced this a while ago, but do not, if you're, my Facebook will be deleted. I just got to get around to it. I'm very fucking lazy, but I don't check it at all. I'd love to hear from you. Support the show on Patreon, get every episode early, and get, extra episodes as well. And yeah, that's everything I've got. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful day. Peace.